Hey, everybody, you're back with Dave and Ed, and this is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 20 with our new guest, Joseph Manuel.
20 episode. We should learn how to say episode.
20. It should have been just me and you, but you procrastinated.
I did not procrastinate. I have a heck of a lineup now, just so you're aware.
A lineup's a lineup. Until we get them recorded in the bank, I don't want to hear about it.
Don't forget, Wednesday, we have another very special interview planned.
Next Wednesday?
Yeah, I text you the date. Don't you dare screw this up.
I don't remember this, but I trust you. Today, our interview was in Harrison, New Jersey at Cutting Edge BJJ.
Also, Choke Lab HQ.
Yes, a very impressive gym. He had two separate mat spaces. The one in the back, I loved all the pictures on the wall. What was all that? You need to add some of those.
Okay, when I have those, I'll add them.
You got to get them, though.
Oh, yeah. Now I could. I want to do... Do you remember how George had the training space? That's what
I
want to do.
Yeah, what was it? It was like a montage. It was like a collage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's great. That's what I would like to do here.
Is that something that you thought about when you were opening a gym, how you were going to kind of decorate and brand yourself within your gym?
I just thought about how I wanted it to look nice and clean and decorative, but I didn't think about such details as that.
It's exciting though, right? There's no limit. Now that it's clean, you have a fresh palette in here to kind of work on.
That's one thing I'm always happy with. Every time I walk in here, it always looks clean and crisp, but I need more on the walls. I mean, it looks good because I have the flags up and I have the logos.
Yeah, the ones that peel off the wall all the time.
The logos, yeah, they're garbage where I got them from. The logo itself.
What if you use like some super glue or something?
I have to do something. If you look, the Alliance one, it has fallen down so many times. I just left it down. It's in the back. And every time I go to Lowe's, I mean to get new adhesive. Like somebody told me 3M adhesive. And I just, every time I'm there, I forget.
No, you forget a lot of things about the t-shirts we got. Still forget about those.
I didn't forget about them.
You know,
they're
what?
In the works.
No, shut the hell up.
There, I sent the guy the logo. Piece of cake. 1, 2, 3. I've been spending so much time on my computer doing these videos. I redid the video twice. I don't know. I have to check YouTube again because YouTube said processing for like 12 hours today.
What about on the website? It's not showing up on my phone.
I have to call GoDaddy and see why it's not showing up on mobile. It shows up on a PC. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, it shows up on a PC, but it won't show up mobile now. Why? I was going to actually look on the iPad and see if it shows up on an iPad.
Get it figured out. All right. Now can you just have a little more appreciation for what I do, though?
Hang on a second. Don't I kiss your butt enough for all you do for the podcast? I think now it's time for you to reciprocate that appreciation to me.
I appreciate you doing the video. It's not
How
exactly,
did you like the video? Were you happy with the selection?
It was good for what you could do. I could do better.
Then why didn't you do better? Remember, that was my first one. I plan on doing more with that.
All right, fine.
I'm going to change it if I don't like it, but I feel like that was a pretty good little intro.
Well, now that you got a video on there, people are expecting more stuff, so we're going to have to start recording, buddy boy.
Well, just so you know, that video is not even public yet, so nobody's seen it.
Oh, okay, good.
It's only on the website.
What about when this is out?
I'm going to make it public. I'm waiting for the second version to finish processing.
Yeah, but by the time this is live, people can watch it.
Yeah, but I don't... 12 hours to process a 3-minute video? There's something wrong. I probably have to go back in and redo it again.
Whatever.
Why? Tell me why. Why?
I'm not
Yanni,
telling...
why? When you hear this, text me. Tell me what I did wrong. I was using iMovie, not the things that you were doing.
Adobe Premiere.
Yeah, I wasn't using that. I have iMovie. I was doing iMovie. I'm going to just continue. I'm not giving up. That's my strength, Ed. Just like you say, my embarrassment or that gene is broken or whatever, I don't give up.
That's what I love about you. Can we talk about the episode we had today?
Oh, you mean the episode that you screwed up? Yeah, we could talk about that.
Well.
Why don't you tell the people? I was thinking about that. Did you ever see 8 Mile?
Yes, everybody's
And totally you know mad. How he like admitted all fault before the other guy?
Yeah, yeah.
You should have done that. You should have opened with that so that I can't roast you for it. But instead, now I have to talk about how you failed once again. You failed, and we've lost about 20 minutes, possibly the best 20 minutes of this episode due to your failure.
Everybody that has been listening to this podcast, I really, really appreciate you, and I hope that you understand that Dave is an exaggerator, and it was my fault, yes. But it was not the best 20 minutes. We were still just getting warmed up. It was a good 20 minutes.
It was a really good 20 minutes.
Every minute that we do is really good.
I agree.
Okay. So you guys will notice that in the beginning of this podcast that we had a little mishap, but we rebounded. Can't make excuses. Just plug along.
We did not have a mishap. You had a mishap.
Are we in this together or is this my podcast? Because if you tell me it's my podcast, I'll take full responsibility for it.
Yeah, it's your podcast. Okay. I'm the co-host. Okay. Isn't that what we've decided?
Fine. I agree. Let's move forward then.
No, we had a mishap. I will take 50% of the blame.
I still loved it. I had a great, it was a great time. We'll talk more about what's going to happen afterwards, but we got things lined up, hopefully, with Joseph.
What do we have lined up?
We'll tell
Remind
him after.
Me. Oh, okay. Fine. We'll talk about it later. Ed doesn't like to give out little cliffhangers.
It's not a cliffhanger. They're going to hear this chronologically. We tell them we had a good time doing it. They're going to hear it. And then we'll tell them what's going on after.
We'll discuss the perspectives in chronological order.
You know, every guest that we've had, without my prompting, has said the word perspective.
Did he say perspective?
He for sure does.
I can't remember. I don't follow word for word like you do.
No, but it's just a ding, ding, ding. As soon as somebody says it, it just...
We are not going to have perspective t-shirts. They're coming in the future. We are looking for a designer, though, if anyone has any, what is that called? Graphic arts or illustrative experience, please contact tothedeathpodcast@gmail.com. I really have a great idea, and I don't know how to do it myself. I need somebody that can draw or is a good graphic designer, and they can do the design for me.
Good. Can we get into the interview?
That was me. That's like a job, right? We're hiring? We're hiring.
We're not hiring.
Zero money.
Yeah.
It's free. You could probably mark it down somewhere as volunteer work.
Sure. Okay. You can put it on your resume.
Whatever. Yeah. I'll write you a good review.
Okay. So let's get into this.
Wait.
What?
Could we get interns?
Yes.
Really?
We could.
Sky's the limit now.
Sky is the limit.
You don't have to do the editing anymore.
No.
The videos, put somebody else in charge.
No. Nobody could edit it the way I want to hear it.
No, this is going to be just like the traditional martial arts when the highest students teach in class. We're just going to pawn it all off onto somebody else.
I disagree.
You don't like that idea?
No.
But that totally goes towards your whole thing.
What do you mean?
Your personality. That's kind of what you are. You're like, I don't really want to do that. Now you don't have to. You could just give it to somebody else.
No, but I love editing. It comes out to a different thing when I make it. It's a piece of art. Audio art.
It is art. Doesn't that run in your family?
Yes, my father.
Your father?
My father.
So, guess who texted me?
I talked to him last night on the phone. He said he's going to be relentless now texting you.
What do you mean, relentless? I was trying to build a connection with this man.
Well, you got it.
Trying to have a relationship.
Careful what you wish for.
Well, now he's telling you it's going to be relentless, so he's trying to build a relationship. He's just trying to
No, he is. But he knows he could be overbearing. I don't know if that's the right word, but if he's your friend, he's really your friend.
That's fine. I need more friends. Okay, I don't have enough friends.
My dad needs more friends, too, so this could work out.
Perfect.
Okay, can we get into the episode?
I'd like to go to dinner with him. When is he coming back?
We should all have dinner at your house.
Fine.
Okay.
What do you want to eat?
Picanhas.
Ooh, I'm sold. You got any?
You're going to buy them.
Fine.
Okay. I hope you guys enjoy. This is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 20. Hit record. So in case you guys missed a whole bunch of stuff, Ed really screwed up today. And he doesn't know how to work his own board. So if you guys have missed anything, we apologize. Ed doesn't apologize because he doesn't care. But
you don't even know how much this hurts.
I know. I can almost see a tear coming down your eye.
Let's just pause. I mentioned the laptop thing. It's like, we don't need a laptop.
It's just more stuff to carry around.
Yeah, but it's a fail safe because it can go straight to the
laptop. Then we're
going to
be here for 45 more minutes while you pull the card, search for this, check the
You don't have to pull the card. It goes right through this thing.
Listen what we're going to do right now. What we're going to do is, please continue.
All right, so you met Hobson Moore.
Yes.
At a battle
Naga.
Of the beach. Right? So you went to Brazil to look for him. Couldn't find him because he
moved
to a different
part.
Well, they
already heard that. I'm hoping for the best here. It just cut out.
I'm planning
Do
for the
your
worst.
Job,
I'm
pay
planning
attention,
for the worst.
Look at the board.
I'm doing an update. I can cut this part out.
I know.
So I went to Brazil, couldn't find them, went to the battle at the beach. Your hero's there. You met him, right? Oh, actually, so you're telling the story. You're getting ready for your match.
And I was laying there and I thought to myself, man, you know what? I don't have an instructor. Let me see if this guy's interested. And I took a chance. I just asked him. I said, listen, man, you know, I'm in a situation here where I have a school. I got a bunch of students. I'm not really training under anyone. We're doing what we can. I told him who I trained with. And I asked him, if you're interested, man, you know, I'm really looking for an instructor.
What belt were you at this point?
Purple belt.
Purple belt still. Okay, great.
What did he say to you?
He's like, that's not really my plans here. You know, he's not really interested in that.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, maybe if you were in the States, we could train. He was cool. He was down for that. So he was like, I'm going to go to Japan. I'll be back. I'm going to be in Delaware. I said, let me get your number and I'll follow up. So I kept I was messaging, I was calling him like every week.
Just relentless.
Yeah, I would call. Did he come back? Did he come back? Did he come back? He wasn't here. He was in Japan, but the person that he was about to get into a business with was here. Her name was Cecilia, I think her name was. So I would call Cecilia every day asking. And then finally, when he came back, I went there to train with him and then I asked him again, you know? And, you know, what I did was I sat down with him. I told him what our business proposal was, what my vision was, what my plan was. I had my competition resume. And then, you know, all this, it was all business stuff. You know, he says, you Americans are all about business. He was in Brazil, it's all family first. And he was like, put that to the side. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about your family. And that's how we started our relationship, you know? He still didn't decide to take me under his wing, which was shocking. You know, you're talking about at that time a six-time world champion and many other titles. He said, I got to talk to my professor and see what he thinks about this. I was like, interesting. I left. I came back another time and he said, you know what? I talked to my professor and he told me, you already know what you want in life and what your path is. If you feel that this guy is worth it and you want to make that decision, because he had other plans. He had other business plans. And he's like, then throw it, you know, throw him in and see what happens. And he decided to let us affiliate. So his plan basically was to move to the U.S. for a short period of time, establish a main academy, and then open three or four other academies and have his top black belts come and run them and go back to Brazil. That was his plan. So that's why he wasn't thinking about teaching anyone or affiliating anyone.
But now he's here.
Yes.
In
things
Florida,
changed.
Right?
Yeah, things changed, man.
Well, yeah, definitely. So around this time, 2004, I mean, in North Jersey, the schools were sporadic. There was no top-level black belts in New Jersey. There was Hanzo.
David Adif. And then there were guys under him like Lou Ventiloro.
Okay,
Lou,
yeah.
Lou Ventiloro was like, that's the, I used to call his academy the Hall of Champions, man. Like, JT came out of there. You know, it was a lot of great competitors came out of Lou's academy.
Do you know who that is, Ed?
JT Torres, yes.
No, I'm just checking. Loro. Do you know who Lou Ventiloro is?
I know.
He's come up on the podcast several times before, but no, I don't know who
Wait,
he is.
Wait, where's Lou now? Who's
he's
he?
In Fairlawn. Fairlawn, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that academy's been there for a long
time.
Yeah,
I've been there
I
before.
Think he's one of the...
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, but you're saying I don't know him.
You
know,
don't know.
I think Lou is like one of the instructors who's had in a school in Jersey the longest.
The longest?
Yes.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I'm talking about back, like, you okay. know, maybe, I don't know, 94 or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that.
I didn't even know it was that
maybe
long.
96, something like that. 96, I can be wrong. Don't quote me.
No, that's probably right.
But I know
wish I knew about it back then.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was in high school.
I know you trained other martial arts growing up, right? What pushed you towards jiu-jitsu instead of staying in your kind of lane where you were?
I had a little boxing background, so this guy that I got into, he was heavier. I hit him with like a five-piece, man. Busted him up, man. Busted his nose, his lip. And he just grabbed me and threw me to the ground, kind of like just wrestled me to the ground. But he was so in shock from the shots that I had given him that he didn't want to fight anymore. So I was literally at his mercy. He didn't know that.
Right.
He didn't know that having me like that in side control, he could have just pounded me out. But he was like, got all chipped up. And he was just like, I don't want to fight, man. I don't want to fight, man. He was bleeding. And I was thinking to myself afterwards, like, dude, that guy, he could have won the fight. Like the way everyone looked at it, they were like, I won. But really.
That's only because it ended.
Yes.
Has that changed the way your mentality on owning a school, like you show a lot of self-defense?
Isn't it, interestingly, a few days ago or maybe last week, I was talking seriously with the students about it. I said, listen, guys, just because we train jiu-jitsu and we know how to fight on the ground, I'm not suggesting to you that you would fight on the ground in a street fight. You know, so I do teach striking here. We used to, in the back there, we used to have a boxing ring where I would teach boxing and Muay Thai.
Okay.
And then that kind of died out. So we just decided to expand the jiu-jitsu program. But on Wednesdays, we started teaching here just for warm-up on Wednesday nights, quick little boxing striking class, you know, where we do shadow sparring. I teach them the little ones and twos, rice and beans of boxing, some defensive movements, and then they could put their gis on and we go to jiu-jitsu just to, I'm like, guys, you got to know this stuff. You know, if you get into a fight, if I got into a fight after all the years of training jiu-jitsu, I would not take the fight to the ground unless I had to, unless this guy got lucky and was able to knock me off balance because we trained wrestling and judo too. 20 years, he's gonna have to be lucky, or maybe some freak accident happened where I fall on the ground and I'm on my back. But you know that if I tell my guys, you know, if I'm on my back, that's why we practice all these beautiful, amazing sweeps from half, from butterfly, from spider, reverse DLR, DLR. So this way we can get right back off of our backs immediately. I do not want to be caught between an enemy on the street, between him and the cold hard concrete. And I don't know if anyone else is gonna jump into the fight with a kick or something like that, or stomp to the head.
So your mentality, even in general in jiu-jitsu, is to get on top, by any means necessary.
Oh, that's great. I tell the kids all the time because
I have
kids that want to pull guard. And yes, we're doing a sport right now, but I just over and over, what's better, top or bottom? And every now and then we'll have a kid that says bottom, and I'm like, no, top. Top is always better. You can always get up and run away. That's where you want to be. Top.
Well, in the recently past few weeks, I've been thinking more about my stand-up game, and I took my first judo class the other day, and I suck at stand-up, so it's a whole new kind of journey. But
well, maybe that's not too far from your jiu-jitsu too, right? Since you don't go to class.
Whoa, I love it. I love it.
Brutal. That's honest. True. Yes. I need, but.
So now you suck at two things.
But. Unfortunately, though, with all the breaks that he takes, he doesn't suck at jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
It kills me.
So he's a natural.
No, that's not true.
I don't know if he's a natural. No. He is really good in certain positions. But no, you know, I was thinking about this today.
Go ahead.
We'll get into it in a minute. But he's really, really good in certain positions where if he gets there, it doesn't matter how good you are. You're stuck
or
you're swept.
No, that's not true. Compared to him, I'm fantastic.
He shows me all his tricks, but still, we get to this position. We get to half guard. I can get so close to passing, and maybe I've passed before, but usually, even like he'll just hold on to my toe. I just can't get my toe out. I almost pass, but I can never.
You're just making yourself sound embarrassing. You should be able to get out of there.
I'm not embarrassed.
You should be.
I don't get embarrassed. You know what's embarrassing?
I know. What?
Your performance with this podcast today. I can't believe we lost the first 20 minutes of podcast. All right? Why don't you focus on that? I'll focus on the jiu-jitsu, okay?
Whatever. The thing I like about what you just said is, although I'm terrible at takedowns or getting on top, I've diligently worked on my sweeps only. I don't submit from the bottom almost ever. I want to get on top and do the slow crush. Mm-hmm. And if I did add stand up, I would get to skip a step because usually I just pull, sweep, then have to pass. But that's why I want to do judo. You're going to do it with me.
One day. I will do one day with you.
One day. Come on.
Yeah, I have goals for judo too, but I can't give up my Sunday.
Do you
have one
rank
day a week
in judo
for the family.
Or you just learned it over time?
What happened was when I started training jiu-jitsu, I wanted to make sure that as a competitor, I wouldn't just get thrown around.
Right.
I remember going to the Naga back in the days, and then you had these wrestlers that came in. They didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu. Just take it down, let you up, take it down,
let you up,
and win the whole thing. I was like, I don't want to be that guy. So I started training wrestling and judo at the same time I started training jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that
together.
As a competitor, I wouldn't get taken down like that. And thankfully, it paid off. As the years went on and I was competing, you meet a bunch of guys. Like I had instructors come to my school, Sensei Lester, Carlos Figueroa, great guys, great judokas, that they were just interested in jiu-jitsu. And you know, you meet people, right? I had Sensei Figueroa just call me up one day and he's like, oh man, I just want to learn about this jiu-jitsu stuff. Like all these schools are popping up in the area. You know, can we sit down and talk? And that's how it started. You guys saw that new documentary coming out?
Yes, I cannot wait. Closed Guard.
So this looks like that's going to throw a monkey wrench in.
I've said it, Robert Drysdale.
Right, yeah, you've been talking about it for a while. How come it's not out yet still?
It was supposed to be debuted at Masters Worlds this year.
Oh, right. Yeah. Canceled.
So it looks like from what we understand, it might be slightly different, the whole history.
Slightly different. It might be way different. And supposedly, there's a big controversy with the Gracies now. Did you hear about all this?
I listen
to every podcast.
I haven't heard about this.
You got to listen to more podcasts. Stop listening to just ours and listen to a couple of others.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I'll look into it. So, yeah, that's how I continued my training. So once I met Sensei Figueroa and Sensei Lester, then I continued to train with them, you know? Like every time I was getting ready to compete, I'd go to class, you know? These guys would work with me. I wasn't ranked, but I would just train with them. But, you know, over the years, you know, you get good at...
Well, it's like guys that only do no-gi, like they don't need rank. They just get good and then the belts don't really matter. But for the tradition of it, how do you feel about belts in general, rank? Because there are guys that just do no-gi, especially MMA fighters, you know, they don't ever get ranked. And then they put a gi on and they're a white belt and they're killing the whole room. How do you feel about giving out rank and what does the belt mean to you?
Do you do tests?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Not all the time, but I try to mix it up.
Okay.
You know, I try to do some tests sometimes. Sometimes I do the surprise belt thing, you know? The reason why I do the test is because there's a part of me as a professor that I want to be able to produce, you know, jiu-jitsukas that are not just like monsters on the mat. You know, people who are going to be, have the capacity to teach and inform and educate. And so that is the reason why I do testing, to try to teach them and encourage them. Listen, you don't want to just be good, but know the names of the techniques, you know the variations, you know, explain it to me, show me how it's done. So that's the reason why. But I don't always do it because we don't want to just, you know, constantly be testing everyone. It's very stressful. And, you know, we got to remember that people come from the, you know, traditional schooling system here, which is you got to memorize everything. You get tested on what you memorize. There's very little room for creative thinking. And so I don't want to test all the time because I want them to also be creative thinkers, right? The belts, what I feel about the belts, it's controversial, man, but I'm gonna share something with you. This is raw and uncut. This is just the truth, man. You know, the facts are the facts. So I'm not really crazy about belting guys that don't train in the gi, because the belt is for the gi.
Right.
It's you're gonna look really funny if you put on no gi shorts and then with a belt on. But some people do it. Whatever. To each his own. This is the fact, and I've done this. One day I was here teaching. I was upset about somebody that got promoted. I think I was a little upset about that whole promotion by Hollis Gracie and Rashad Evans. I was like, how are you gonna get this guy black but he never put on a gi? Oh, because he smashes guys in the gym. So what? He's just athletic. The guys, you would expect him to smash everybody in the gym.
Yeah, he's
training
athlete.
8 hours a day.
Sure.
So whatever. I come here. I was pissed off, and I didn't like that at all. And I was sharing with the students how Hoyler jumped in on that and was like, listen, this is, you know, it's not right. And I was like, obviously the look on everyone's face, they were like, what the hell? And I was like, I'm gonna prove it to you right now. So I had two black belts on the mat, two brown belts on the mat, one purple belt, and a few blue belts. And I grabbed the black belt and I said, such and such, do me a favor right here. I want you to do 10 chokes with the lapel right now from the closed guard. No one in the room could do it off the top of the head. They couldn't do it. They were, at one point, one was like, is this a choke? I said, don't ask me. I said, show me 10 chokes from the guard with the gi on.
I'm gonna stress out just thinking
about
this.
I don't know 10.
You're stressing me out.
Right?
Right.
And they couldn't do it. Now, it could have been simply because of the pressure of me putting on them there. But the truth is that very few people do. Like that, you have to be encyclopedic. There are that don't. I can guarantee you a no-gi guy can never do it. If a black belt here couldn't do it, my black belt that I formed from white to black couldn't do it, how is a guy who never put the gi on going to do it? So there is a difference between training in the gi and training without the gi. Training in the gi, what we're learning with the technical grips is the mastery of using the cloth to control the opponent and subdue him. You cannot do that in no-gi. So I don't like this promoting with a belt and no-gi. Because if I took that guy, he might be skillful. I could put this guy in a room with a bunch of blue belts and purple belts. If he's athletic, he'll smash him. Yeah, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is in the gi, the belt is for the gi. And if I took that guy with no gi, as athletic as he was, and put him in a room with a bunch of gi guys, and just said, show me 15 lapel chokes, or show me 5 lapel chokes. Not the same one over again. I want 5 different. He's not going to be able to do it because he has no knowledge of training in the gi. And so that's just a fact. Try it one day and see for yourself. Because, you know, some people, they're like, oh, you know, it's controversial right now.
We were just talking about this because you were saying jokingly, but you're kind of serious. You're going to have the highest belt in the room teach on the spot.
Oh, it was totally a joke. I don't remember what we were talking about. It was totally a joke, though, because I was picking on traditional martial arts, how it didn't matter who would show up. The highest ranked student would teach and then the instructor would like disappear.
No, but it's not about disappearing. But there's something beautiful about that. And we talk about teacher-student relationship with yourself. I think you need to be equal parts teacher and student. Even as you're coming up, you should be able to show. And what I'm taking out of what you're saying is to get a black belt, it's not just how good you are and who you could smash. You need to be able to show somebody else how to smash too and how to carry themselves, because they're looking to you. When you're wearing a high-colored belt, black belt, people are looking at you for guidance. And if you can't even show basic chokes and stuff, all you do is win. I mean, how much of a help are you to the society as a whole?
See, now I'm totally the opposite. I can teach how to smash really well, but I can't do it myself.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, obviously, we all have different capacities. Not everyone's going to be a professor. Not everyone's going to be an instructor. We all need those guys in class to just smash and pass, you know? We're going to try, though. I try. I know when I come into classroom, I see my guys. They're not all going to be school owners. They're not all going to be instructors. But I try. I try. In case they do decide to do it, it's not like, oh, what do I do now? Wait a minute, the professor already prepared me for this. This is why that crazy bastard was saying all this stuff in class. And he was so annoying because I can be unbearable in class, you know? Detail, detail, detail. Do it again. It was wrong. Do it again. Some guys don't want to do that. They just want to come from work, slap, bump, and roll. So I know it's annoying. But trust me when I tell you, I've had many students over the years that they thought I was crazy and annoying. And then when they found themselves in a very high position in the military, or I had a student that became a professional skateboarder, he thought I was nuts. When I would tell him read books and mindset and things like that, he thought I was nuts. He goes to South Korea. They offered him a job to run the Bustin' Boards location in Manhattan, right? And now all that stuff starts kicking in about what the goals are, understanding the business, studying, you know, how to market. And then he came to me, he goes, professor, man, I thought you were nuts, dude. I just wanted to train. And then now I'm in this position where all that stuff that you said is what I need to do now to be able to move forward in my career, you know? So we're going to try. We're not going to have everybody's going to be instructor. Some people are just going to be the smash and pass guy, you know, the guy that you put on the visitor. get him.
No, but I like what he's saying here for teaching. You don't have to aspire to teach, but in your class the other day, he asked people, do you want to learn the next part of this technique or do you want to just roll? And obviously, people just want to roll. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you can't give them a choice, all right? We know what's best for them because we've been in it longer. We need to do drills. We need to do live sparring from mount, from side control, be in positions that are uncomfortable, force them there. Roll on your own time, really. If it was up to me and I was running class, I only like to do training from specific positions so you can make mistakes over and over, switch, see what they're doing, maybe pick up what they're doing, they can pick up what you're doing, and there's no rest. You get high cardio from that. When I left to my own devices, I'm a very lazy person. If I can stall,
you don't say.
I will. No, but I'm saying don't give them the option, all right? They're more like me than like you. There's more people like me lazy, so force them. If they're showing up, they trust me that I'm going to teach them right.
Yes.
Do what I say.
Let's just clarify here, though. The reason that I gave the option was because we were already cutting into and had already cut into what is normally live training.
Do you want them to
class.
Get better or not?
I also want them to enjoy themselves and have fun.
Nah. Yeah.
That's the balance, you know? So what we try to do here is I try to mix all those things. I try to consider all those things. There are days where I come in, it's strictly curriculum. We have the paper on there. I say, listen, everything that we're covering, you see it on the bulletin board. If you have any questions, write your notes, compare, go on the group app that we have. If you have questions, guys, we'll give you references that help you. Strictly curriculum, trying to get them from white to blue, and they have to learn those 88 techniques. And there's days where I'm like, listen, let's just roll. Guys, grab a partner. Saturday, we were here. I said, listen, we're going to do a warm-up. Grab your partner. I don't care if it's one technique or 100. Grab your partner. Drill. I don't want to hear any discussing or talking. It's not teaching time. It's drilling time. You guys got to, you know, process the information that we've been covering all week. And on top of all the stuff they're watching on YouTube, you know, and on Instagram. So I'm like, guys, just get it out of your system. Grab a partner, drill, work it out, and don't ask questions. I don't mind helping. Every class we do Q&A. All right, just bring it in, guys. Q&A or comments is welcome as well. Now, when we're drilling, I don't want to hear you asking questions. You have to work it out. There's times where you just got to figure it out, you know?
I like that. I never heard that before.
That's basically what you do when you start to give resistance. You're like, well, why isn't it working?
I do it to you one-on-one because we've been training a long time. I've always been like that. Not everybody's like that.
I know, but you're doing what he's saying, but you're doing it on your own without words.
Okay, but we are in the position where we're both brown belts and we aspire to be black belts. And over again, it's coming down to, can you show it? Can you make this sport, can you make jiu-jitsu better? How can you enhance it? All right, this podcast is one of the ways we're trying to bring everybody together, build a community. But when it comes down to training and teaching, not everybody knows what I know. We started at different points. We've trained with different people. Maybe I do things automatically. Sometimes I don't even notice when I'm showing techniques. He points out, like, you're doing this, but you're not saying it. I'm trying to focus. How can we make them better? We have a small school that he runs, and I try to help out. We're trying to make them as good as possible. I mean, they're not training twice a day, every day. If they did that, they would get really good. They come 3-4 times a week. How do we maximize their time on the mat? And that's definitely one of the ways. No talking, just drill. If you have questions, we'll answer them after. That's, we don't do that.
Well, yeah, we always say after we show techniques, anybody have any questions?
No, I'm saying, he's saying while they're drilling, they shouldn't be, yes, they should just be drilling.
Man, could you imagine that? Have you seen my wife with Dan's wife? They slap 5, fist bump. This is for rolling now. They'll slap 5, fist bump, and before a grip or anything is done, oh, how are the kids? And for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, they'll slap 5, fist bump 5 or 6 times, and then talk again, and then for the last 30 seconds of the round, they'll roll. But that's over and over. They can come and train every day, and they'll slap 5, fist bump, talk. Slap 5, fist bump, talk. For most of the round before they actually roll.
He's only talking crap about his wife because she don't listen to this.
She does not listen, and she does not train either. So
we were talking before about, you know, different people coming in. How do you feel about visitors, and then how do you feel about your students going off and maybe taking a class at other academies?
I have absolutely no problem with that.
That's beautiful. That's the way that it should be, in my opinion. Your students are paying you for a service. You don't have any kind of leash or anything attached to them. That's how I feel.
Yeah. What we do is we're open 7 days a week. So they don't really have to go anywhere because they have access to the academy 7 days a week, morning and evening. But, you know, sometimes people just need change, you know? And one of the things that we do in our, with my affiliated academies, is that we do once a month, we do what is called inner academy training, where I'll visit Parsippany, or they'll visit us, or we'll visit Hillsborough. So this way, we get that out of them where they get a chance to train with someone different. But if they wanted to visit anywhere, I just tell them, be respectful. Make sure you pay your mat fee. Like, don't go anywhere expecting anything for free. You know, they got to pay the rent too.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Take it easy.
I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word.
Don't go trying to like finagle to get a free class. You know, they got to pay rent too. You know, just pay your mat fee. Make it your goal to walk up to the front. What is the mat fee? And pay it.
On top of that, besides, I also with the mat fee is be the person that at the end of the class or at the end of your time on the mats, they come up to you and say, you can come back anytime. That's what I'm looking for. I want to give too. Like I'm an upper belt. When I show up and I roll with the blue belts, white belts, even purple belts, if I have any things I can give to them, I love that. I love showing somebody a little detail here, detail there. If they have something for me, that's what I just want to share knowledge. I've been traveling around since we've been doing this podcast. People have invited me to take class. Actually, one of the guys even let me teach a class, which is very nice. And you have to be respectful and you have to help them grow too, because we're all the same together. We live in different spots, which kind of dictates where you train, but we're all the same. I've been going to these different academies and it's beautiful. And I want to keep that up. And I think, you know, if we can get more schools connected, like you have your three affiliates, maybe you start to get friends with our schools. Then we could do little in-house tournaments. Mm-hmm. That's a little more comfortable and safe for people that aren't necessarily, that maybe they're on the fence about competing or they never thought about competing. You can give them a nice safe environment where we trust each other and we can get them a couple matches for, you know, not a lot of money. It doesn't cost much to run a tournament. We just have to coordinate. And that's one of the goals I think we have.
Coordination.
Coordinating a safe environment to train.
From you. Nobody believes this that knows you.
What are you talking about? Right? Why do you say that? You
How many times have you looked at the recorder to make sure that it's 10, still on?
10,000 times.
All right. Yeah, let's not make that mistake again. So can I derail this conversation?
Go ahead. Do whatever
Because
you
I
want
to get back to Lineage and Hobson and when you started training under him and your further promotions.
So I started training with him after that conversation that we had, that initial conversation. I started training with him and I would drive to Hockessin, Delaware once a week to train with him. I spend the whole day with him every Monday. So before my before doing jiu-jitsu full-time, I was a cosmetologist. I worked as a barber and that was my trade. And so Monday was my day off. And I would leave here 6 a.m., get there at 9 a.m., do a private lesson, and then train. And then I would take a break, lunch, sleep in my truck, and then do another private lesson, 5 o'clock session. And then I would drive back to Jersey to make it here in time for our last class, the competition class. So we would train till like 11 o'clock at night at that time. And all my students at that time lived locally, so they were able to train. But then as their careers progressed and they got married and kids, they started moving to better areas. And then we had to bring the class times down. And that was every Monday for, I'd say, like 3 or 4 years. You know, if I missed a Monday.
That's dedication,
You
Ed.
Never trained like that.
Me, I train consistently at least.
You didn't do that though. That's
no,
intense.
I didn't do that, but at least consistently. Do you know what that means, Ed? Consistency? Do you know anything about consistency?
Ask him when's the last time he tapped me out.
That has nothing to do with training. That has nothing to do with training. Consistently.
Listen, if you started beating, like say I showed up next week and you just start tapping me over and over, you don't think that would motivate me? You think I want to lose to you?
No, you would quit.
Maybe.
Did you ever think that maybe I allow you to tap me and I don't tap you intentionally
to
boost your ego
that
you continue to train? No, I don't want to
know
why.
How I know
continue.
That's wrong? No,
continue.
Because you don't want to know. I can make a grip on him, and if I don't want to let it go,
I cannot break his grip. No, I have to do whatever I'm doing while he's holding on, usually just getting swept. But
so I went through the ranks of purple, brown, and then in 2009, I got promoted to black belt. It was beautiful. It was February 14th, 2009. It was Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It was so amazing. I bust my butt for that, man. You know, to be Robson's first American black belt was no easy feat at all. He was very hard on me, very hard on me. And I enjoyed every second of it. I wouldn't take it back. I wouldn't take it back at all. And, that's how it started. I met him. I trained with him. And then I got promoted in 2009, but I continued to train, you know, like I felt like I had something to prove to myself, to my students, to my professor. And, you know, we just stepped it up a notch, you know, first black belt debut. It was an open class match. I won like 27-2 with an arm lock in the final seconds.
Now, Ed would tell you that you did it wrong. Go ahead, Ed. Why don't you tell him?
He didn't do it wrong. A win's a win.
Yeah, no, sure, in front of him. But Ed thinks that if you get too many points, that you're not good. Because you should,
it
should be a takedown or a sweep, a guard pass, full mount, take the back, submission. So 27 points. Why? What took you so long? Go ahead, Ed. Come on.
Well, I weighed in 135 pounds. This guy weighed in 185 pounds. He was like a runner-up at a few times at the Pans and Worlds. And, you know, it was tough. I
had, 27 points is a lot of points, though. That's a lot of points.
I'm not on you at all for this. No. I love what you did.
And I
scoring
must admit,
that many points is great. But
I must admit,
Ed,
it was my black belt debut, and I wanted to make a statement.
Whoa. So, you're just dancing on him, man.
Yeah, I was trashing him, man.
You were doing the Andre Goval.
Oh, man, just pass, mount, take the back. He escaped a few times. You know, he was big guy, strong guy, and I would just do it again. And, you know, I wanted to really make a statement and show, you know, Robson that he didn't need that to know that he made the right decision to promote me. But for sure, when I texted him the video, he was like, I knew you was going to do that.
That's great. So how old were you when you got your black belt?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
11 years ago.
Yeah, so 11 years ago, I'm 45.
You're 45 now.
Yeah.
34.
I know how to do math, Ed. Jeez.
Great job.
And then since then, you've won Black Belt Worlds. You took third at Black Belt Worlds, right?
Yes. I was, if I'm correct, I'm the oldest person ever to place on the podium of the World Championships in the adult rooster weight category.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I'm 37 years old.
So we've been talking a lot about competition. Competition, I feel like, drives you, fuels you to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's proof right there on the mats. You're really testing yourself. How do you tell your students about competition? What are your expectations for them?
I don't. So we teach jiu-jitsu. We teach self-defense, and we teach health and fitness through the martial arts. That's what I teach. That's what I'm here for. If there's a student that obviously you cannot contain him within these four walls, I notice that he's athletic and he has that drive, then I will pull him to the side and say, hey, champ, you know, like, maybe this is something for you. But I don't put everybody to compete. You know, there's school owners that they'll just be like, all right, we're going to competition. Everybody's going to compete. You got 50 students and 40 of them become somebody's highlight reel. I'm not doing that to my students. You know, whoever's going to compete, the way I did to go to the worlds and compete in the pants and all that stuff that I was doing, it was, I always say, confidence comes through preparation, you know? And
that's in all things,
yeah.
Not just jiu-jitsu, but yeah, that's why these teachings transfer to other parts of your life too. Mm-hmm. That's what I love most about it.
Yeah. So we always separate who is going to be the competitor, and that competitor, I explicitly let them know what the plan is. I say, the plan is to win, but in order to win, you have to do all these things in order to win. You got to come to class, be consistent, train with the other competitors. You got to do your private lessons, do your workshops. You know, like it's no nonsense for me. I don't just be like, oh, go compete and see what it's gonna like. No. I'm not gonna go see what's gonna happen. I don't want to see what it's like. The guy's like, oh, sensei, oh, professor, I want to go compete. I just want to see what it's like. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm gonna tell you what it's like. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. You're gonna go over there, and you're gonna get
your butt kicked,
and then you're gonna be discouraged, and you're gonna quit jiu-jitsu. I'd rather have you training on the mats, safe and happy and healthy, and learning the art, and when they promulgate the art in whatever capacity, then you get your feelings hurt and you quit altogether. So that's why I don't just let anybody compete, not here.
So the reason I ask is because the judo I've started to learn a little bit more about their kind of art, and the judo art, you can't get promoted to black belt without competing. Mm-hmm. Not only competing, you got to beat people your own level to get to the next rank. How do you feel about that compared to our art?
You know, to each his own, man. You know, I wouldn't do that to my student, because I have a guy 50 years old. I'm gonna make the guy compete. This guy got a business. He runs a construction business. He's got a family. So to get the blue belt, you got to go compete, and then you got to smash that 20 year old who's like lifting weights all day long and competing in the New York Open. Bro, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's just not, I don't want to put that kind of pressure on my students, you know?
I feel like that's the consensus for sure.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu. That's the one thing that I don't like about judo. There has to be somebody out there that's giving out black belts without competition.
I don't know. Well, I don't know much about judo, but the people I talk to...
Why don't you find out more about judo?
I'm going to.
Aren't you going to be belted soon?
No, not be belted. I took one class. What are you talking about?
I don't know. You keep pushing it on me.
I want you to train with me so we could be bad together. I went to the class.
That's
right?
Great. You want to just throw me and land on top of me. Fantastic.
I can't throw anybody. I want to do the pull, the guard pull. I forget what they're called.
Sumigoshi? Tomonagi.
Oh, Tomonagis. Mm. Yeah, I want to do those ones.
I interrupted you. I was waiting for you to finish.
Well, for the school I went to actually is in Clifton. Do you know Guma?
Yes.
BJJ?
Yes.
That's where I went to go take a class. The chief that I work with, he teaches the judo over there. So it's scary to me. Judo is a whole different, it's way different than jiu-jitsu. And I'm very stiff. Like when I'm unsure of myself, even jiu-jitsu, my teacher tells me all the time, like, you're too stiff. And I really have to focus on just letting go and accept a slam, just break fall. I just don't trust my break fall. I'm just nervous. Mm-hmm. So that makes me scared. I don't want to get hurt. That's all. Mm-hmm.
You're like, really big, so it's going to hurt no matter what.
I could mention my weight. How do you feel about... You should show him because he always tells me how strong I am, how big I am. The only reason I'm doing good is because I'm big. Do you ever
You keep saying that. And once again, I'll repeat myself again. I do not say the only reason that you're doing good is because you are enormous. Okay?
So what if I wasn't as heavy as I am?
It wouldn't be as easy for you.
Oh, it would be easier for you. So if I lost weight and got in good shape.
I didn't say it would be easier for me. I said it wouldn't be as easy for you.
How? It'll be easier. I can do more techniques. Right now, I'm stuck to one lane.
You think you could. No, you couldn't.
I do over-under passes. That's basically all I do. I got to lose some weight so I could start doing... What kind of game do you play? Have you been updating? I know you... Just based on talking to you, attention to detail, knowing a lot of techniques, are you keeping up with the latest and greatest, always trying to...
You need to watch his Instagram. I'm watching his Instagram. Is that your son that's with most of the Instagram videos that you're doing?
Yeah.
This kid will kill us both.
Fine. I just want to hear about it.
I'm sure it's coming from somewhere, though.
Yeah, we try to stay up to date with the latest innovations and modifications of the techniques, you know? Just like anything else, you know? Like if you were a computer program, you're not going to be... You know, once a new program comes out, you got to be on top of it.
I don't know. Some
people
are just like, this is my game. I know how to do this one, and they stay in their lane.
Well, there's a difference between learning and what you do, mm-hmm. right? I learn to learn because what if a student comes and asks me, and I'm like, I don't know.
Just say that don't work.
Come on, you know, right?
That's what Dave does.
So, you know.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
I like to have the answer for them, you know? Like, yeah. I was just this weekend, we were out in Philly. Recording, I was doing a photo and video coverage of the Logic seminar with Christian Woodman, C, JT Torres, and
Josh Hinger. I mean, I don't
know. How's that pronounced right? Is it Hinger or Hinger?
It's Hinger.
Hinger. All right.
Yeah, he does not like Hinger because we listen to Matt Byrne. But I'm a huge fan of Josh. I actually wanted to go to that. It just didn't work out this time.
I've texted every week about the podcast. He just ignores you.
I've taken two seminars of his already, and I was really looking forward to the Logic camp, but I did not get a chance to go.
Yeah, so you know, we stay up to date on what's going on, and for me, I'm like you said, you mentioned before, you got to be a student and an instructor, and I love the student aspect. Like I like to
I
go
can tell. Yeah.
And just not have to teach and cater to. You guys know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you're teaching, you're catering to everyone. It's what he needs, what that person needs. Professor, instructor, coach, whatever it is they call you. You're catering to everyone. There's very little time you have to just stop and be like, well, you know, who's gonna teach me? I have black belts on the mat. And I'd be like, oh, teach the class. And they're like, no. I'm like, dude, teach the class.
They're
like,
afraid. They don't want to embarrass you. Because what if they don't show it right? And that's how I feel teaching in front of my instructor. And I'm trying to get past that. I actually asked him recently if I could take over the day classes. But I still want him there to oversee me and help me. Because I want to learn how to teach now just as well as I train. You know, that's a big part of it. I think you get even better if you could show it. And I want to show him that I'm taking this seriously and I'm not taking the breaks like I usually do. I want to be part of the school more than
but you are starting to take the breaks like you were.
I know, but I could see it happening. I'm trying to beat it now.
Okay, so
help
just,
me.
Come on. Okay. Just remember, you asked for it.
You got to get better.
I am getting better slowly.
When
it's
are we
a very
come?
Slow
we, listen,
process
we
want to
come and train with you. I want you to see. Because you like we're just talking and you don't really know our jiu-jitsu yet. But I want you to see it.
So I'm phenomenal.
It'll make you giggle a lot harder than you already are.
What, is he just going to watch us roll?
Yeah, just you
oh,
should just
we're
watch
gonna
us.
Oh, you put on a little spectacle. Okay. Yeah. You'll see Ed make a grip and me like whine and whimper because I can't break the grip. I'll put two hands on it. I'll put my foot on it. I'll be sitting on the ground like this trying. I can't break that grip and he'll be laughing.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't break a grip, right? He's got to learn how to work around grips.
That's like what I'm working on.
Well, how? Who's telling you?
No one.
So
yeah. Trial and error.
Right, I was just saying, sometimes we need someone to coach us, you know, someone to give us info and stuff. And that's why in the classroom, I've opened up the classroom now when we're done teaching where I'll say, guys, let's bring it in for Q&A or comments. Because sometimes they know stuff, you know, they're just like not sharing it. And I'm like, hey, I'm here to learn too, man. You know, like, you know, help professor out, man, you know. But it's all out of respect. I believe it's all out of respect.
Oh, for sure. They don't want to embarrass you.
So I do have people that I can ask. I have my instructor who I can ask who's in Brazil, which makes it a little strange. But he is always available for me to answer my questions. But then I also go to Ed's Grandmaster Sensei, who before all this COVID came in, I was training down there at least once a week.
No, you weren't.
Well, no, that was just because of soccer season.
Whatever excuse you want. You could have found some time.
No, before that, I was there at least once a week.
Oh, at least, at most, once a week.
No, oh, yeah, who's the one that's not being consistent, Ed, huh?
I also have a family. I have an academy, a family.
Are excuses? Kids. Oh, excuses.
I'm going to mute your mic.
You can't mute my mic there.
Idiot. I don't like to let him get away with that because he does make excuses.
Yeah, but now that you've seen more of my schedule and routine, is it really an excuse?
Quit your job.
Okay. Support me.
I'll support you.
Really?
No. You're a grown-ass man. You have any questions for us? Anything you want to...
You opened with that, which may or may not have been lost.
Exactly. So
I did want to say something that you mentioned earlier. I wanted to elaborate a little bit on what you mentioned earlier about teaching the students and finding a way to help them, you know, in some way become teachers. You know, like it's important to know the technique but explain it. And I emphasize that a lot with our students here because I always tell them, what if one day... You know, you're at a cookout or whatever, or you're watching a UFC fight, and then someone asks you, like a family member, you know, maybe someone in your family is really going to be in a situation, you know, where they need to learn something and you don't even know how to explain it. Mm-hmm. So one day I was here, and not too long ago, I got a woman that came in. She was distraught, man. She was here at Rutgers, and she was a victim of the knockout game.
Oh,
she was coming out of the university. Bunch of jokers, you know, run up on her. She didn't even know. She got, boom, she gets knocked out in the middle of Raymond Boulevard over there.
Yep.
And luckily somebody got out of the car and picked her up, and she came here, and she was a mess. And it was very touching, you know? And I tried to, like, you know, reassure her, you know, that if she came here, I would help her as best as I could. And since, you know, we have a striking background, I was telling her, look, you know, we can set classes apart where I can teach you the, you know, the art of boxing, which is, you know, slipping, dipping, dodging, ducking movement and how to throw effective punches. And then we'll go into the grappling stuff. I don't know what happened with her that it didn't work out. I don't know if it was time or whatever. But, you know, I tell my students, what happens if you run into someone like that? It could be a family member. And they're like, oh, I heard you train. Can you show me something? And you're like, yeah, I just choke people out. Yeah, I just break arms. Like, you know, like, you're gonna have to be able to explain it to them, you know? Or how about parents? A lot of students deal with parents that just don't, they don't really like understand why they train, you know? My dad didn't understand why I train. Well, what are you doing?
Because it's fun to choke people.
You know, my dad was, you know, well, I had a student one time whose dad was the same way. He's like, what are you doing wasting time out there rolling around in, you know, in a jacket? And then he came to one of the belt tests that we did. We did testing that time. And he did a demo. It was beautiful, you know? It looked like that Hicks and the Hoyler demo they did in the Pride. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Remember that? Hicks and the Hoyler Pride. Oh, you got to see this. It's absolutely amazing. Anyway, his father came up to me afterwards and apologized. Like, man, I must apologize, man. You know, I was ridiculing him and I was on top of him and I didn't really understand what you guys were doing here. But now that I see what you've done with him, he got to blue belt. He was like, this is amazing. And so that's why I stress the idea of them, you know, why we do tests sometimes. And I stress, I stress the idea of learning the techniques and knowing the in and outs of the position, knowing your judo throws. Here on the list, we says you got to know a minimum of 5 judo throws in the names, you know, minimum. 5 wrestling takedowns in the names, you know, by the time they get to blue belt, you know? And then we try to encourage, you know, that as they go to purple, brown, and black, they learn more. So this way you never know, man, you know?
Yeah, so me and Dave both have kids. I have 2 daughters, and I look at it from that perspective. I want them for sure to be able to protect themselves, and the better I know it, obviously Dave's going to help me out too, and we're always going to come on. But that's a big part. I want them to see me really pushing myself and enjoying it, and then maybe by osmosis,
yes,
they will do the same, and they could teach their kids and just carry on the tradition and be part of the community. Because this community, I mean, we talk about it a lot, that it's more than just getting in shape. You know, we're building a family here. This is your second family, and I want them to be part of that.
That was beautiful, Ed. Have you been rehearsing that?
Yeah, I was in the car before.
That was great.
So what's your for kids, how do you do it different? Is it the same as the adults, or how do you run your kids program compared to the adults?
It's a little different than the adults program because I try to teach the kids gi, no gi, judo, wrestling, and striking and Muay Thai.
Okay, so just the full, you want them to be this a well-rounded.
This is your kids' program. Yes. You don't have individualized programs for each of these arts.
No. So Monday, we start, the beginning of the week, we start with the gi. And yesterday, we started. My daughters are very, you know, knowledgeable because I train. I do private lessons with them. And so I use them. I'm like, let's go. Ali, Leah, bring them to the top. We do a quick demo. We go over. They know more than the variations on that list there. And then this way, the kids, they watch because as the old Chinese proverb goes, one time seeing is better than 1,000 times hearing. So I make sure that they watch and they learn from watching. And then I take them to the... So then Tuesday, we have no gi. And in the self-defense, you know that in self-defense, we have judo. Osotogari, seonage, things like that, right? Then in the no gi class, we teach them basic wrestling, right? I start with snap downs and single legs, which are the easiest things to do in wrestling. And then Wednesday, we do the striking, where I teach them boxing. And then I have my assistant who uses all the pads over there, and he takes them to the side. While I do the mitt work with them, you know, footwork, defensive movements, straight punches, the basic combos, jabs, double jabs, one twos. And then he goes and he does like the knees with them and the deep kick and the knees and elbows. We haven't taught them the roundhouse yet, but we'll go building it up as time goes. And then we end the week on Thursday back to gi. Now on Thursday, that's more of a competition style where they start standing, they bow, double high five, I say kumbachi. So we always start standing. So this way we don't lose that aspect in case they're in the street and they're in a playground or something happens, they're not like double guard pulling.
So that's for adults too, you always start standing?
No, okay. With the adults we mix it up. But majority of our classes we start standing because we encourage them to do their judo and do their wrestling, mm-hmm. You know? There are days where we'll be like, all right, let's bring it down. If there are a lot of people, especially, that's when I'm like, guys, bring it down to the mat level. Let's start. We always do one side up, one side down. There's never any neutral positions here. So this way, I'm basically forcing them to learn to play top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that I didn't like about particular schools that I visited where everyone was just like double guard pulling. Mm-hmm. And then so you have lopsided students, you know? And so my job, like you said, our job is to teach them. I have to train them. So I make sure that one side is up and down. We rotate, you know?
I like that. I like to force them because if you leave it up to their own devices, people will take the path of least resistance mm-hmm. most of the time.
Yeah,
I think. Ed plays top all the time.
No, I don't.
I know.
What are you talking
actually
about?
Doesn't.
I play I'm bottom
proud
because
of you for
I,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're growing as a human.
I'm going to smash you later.
And your
I can't
belly
wait.
Is too. You're not coming tonight. Who are you kidding?
I'm coming. So for the kids, though, so you have all these different classes. Do you ever run into a problem where kids only show up on certain days? Like maybe they don't like the striking, so they won't show up on that day? Or you have kids that are consistently just, they won't do that?
Well, because I have experience as a father, I'm a proud father of five. I say proud because
holy
a lot of people,
cow.
When you say five, they're like,
that's
what?
A lot.
Five kids? I'm like, what's the problem?
That's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility. Yeah. If you could carry it, God bless you.
I wanted seven.
Yeah. I wanted two. A football team. I want my own competition team. The little Manuels. But no, I'm a proud father of five, and I have a lot of experience with them. And I try to always, with the older ones, I try to be in tune with them to understand how to make the class more fun. So my class is so much fun that the kids like it all. I don't have any kid that avoids the class. They want to come to every single class.
That's a huge aspect of it, is fun.
Fun.
Right?
Has to be.
What did I say before? When you gave me crap about letting the students pick another technique or rolling, and I said you also have to make it fun for them. Why, when someone else says it's okay, but if I say it, you don't like
it? We talked about it's a balance. I don't think you should ever ask them because it's an obvious question. They're always going to say just roll.
Yeah, but we were on such a great flow. Me personally, I would have chosen the next move.
They didn't. Well, it was unanimous.
I know.
It's like a rhetorical question. Why are you asking it?
I was testing them.
Yeah,
it
they
was
failed.
A test.
They
failed. 100%. You know who
miserably.
You are, people. You all failed.
Miserably.
So you were just saying, like, you want to learn. Is there any times besides senior instructor where you're taking classes from other teachers?
Not classes. But, you know, when I get a chance to go to a seminar, I usually jump on the opportunity because that will be my class, you know. I get a little time, a little chance to just sit back and, you know, I don't even help the guy that I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm like, I'm not even going to help this guy. You know, sometimes you go to like a Rafael Mendez seminar and he's teaching like some Betty Bono variation.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, I'm like, I'm not even helping this guy. Right now it's straight me time.
I mean, yeah.
So do you try and go to a seminar like this if you have the chance to go with a set partner already?
No. Well, I don't wait for nobody. That's one thing I learned.
That's a good lesson.
So there are times where like I will tell my guys, my students, hey guys, there's a seminar. He goes, you want to show up? But I'm not waiting for anybody. I go. I just go. I'll meet up with them there, you know, if they show up, you know.
See, we have a lot in common. I invite people to seminars all, not you. No, I'm not you.
What do you mean? You love working with me at a seminar.
Yeah, sure, fine. But you don't go to them.
What are you talking about?
I've driven 6 hours for a seminar, and I'll go on my own. I don't care. Somebody will be there. I'll jump in some group.
Once you see him rolling, boom, you'll stop fist bumping him.
Yeah. I showed up at an Eddie Cummins seminar, not even far, but I told my students nobody wanted to go. I showed up. I just grabbed somebody. Hey, let's go. Well, we got a group already. I said, okay, there's no other people. I'm jumping in. And I just jump in.
But Dave's big thing now is that he owns a school, is he tries to get people to come give seminars at the school. Do you have a lot of seminars here?
Yes,
he does. He had some fantastic guests not long ago, but I was teaching. I couldn't come.
September 19th, Master Robson Moore will be here for the 15th annual seminar since we affiliated with him. We've been consistent to have him here every year.
15 times?
Yeah.
That's why I like
what day of the week is that going to be?
It's always on Saturday.
Saturday.
Because, you know, I can't. You should come, Ed.
We'll both come. We can get somebody to teach. You can get somebody to teach that day.
I can't get somebody to teach. No, I have the kids. I don't like
Greg.
To just let
Greg
the kids.
Greg teaches kids.
The kid. He doesn't even know the kids.
You want him to come?
He's just going
to
appear. Hi, I'm the coach for today.
Listen.
And what's your name? No, I have a relationship with my students and the parents, and I like to show up when I'm supposed to be there for the kids especially. The adults is a little bit easier to get coverage because the adults are adults, but the kids, they don't want to just show up and take class from anyone.
What
sometimes
time is,
it's
what
awkward
time is
enough.
It starts at 10:30 a.m.
Damn.
10:30.
Are you going to wake up?
Yeah. No, that's not a problem for me. I'm up every day.
Oh, all right.
We do it at that time because we just have a class at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everyone's already accustomed to coming in that time training.
Come on,
how long of a seminar is it?
Man, you know, to be honest with you, Robson, he's a great guy, man. We usually put on the flyer or whatever. It was 10 to 1, but he'll be here to 3, 4.
When it comes time to promoting a student to black belt, are you looking for anything special, anything extra above and beyond what we've already talked about with belt promotions?
What do you mean, in terms of character or technique?
Yes,
character.
Oh, both. Anything. Anything extra or special that you're looking for. Like, you obviously don't want to promote a black belt who's a jerk, right? So that's the reason Ed doesn't have his black belt
yet.
That's
not why I don't show up. That's why I don't have it.
But so is there anything extra that you're looking for, character or technique-wise?
I mean, not really in character, because all the guys I deal with just phenomenal people, you know? I just try to, the one thing that I try to instill in them is something that we need to be different as a martial arts community. I'll give you an example. The last time I went to a competition, it was all jiu-jitsu academies, and you look at the bleachers and it was horrible, man. These people were like, left their cups around, and I'm like, we're supposed to be that community of discipline, right? And respect, at least respect the location and pick up your garbage. Those are little things like that I think sometimes aren't spoken about and need to be spoken about. And or for example, I was at the pizza shop the other day with my little ones, Aliyah and Jolia. One is just turned 7, one just turned 6, you know. And the guy standing there is a guy, he's like works there, and he's just dropping all types of f-bombs and talking about this witch and that, and I'm like, bro, my kids are standing right here, man. Like,
you know, put the choke on him, didn't you?
Nah, I just left. I said, you know what, let's go. And the girl's like, oh, we're gonna eat. I'm like, let's just go. And so I try to tell my guys, don't be that guy. I'm not telling you what to do in your personal, that's not my place, but you represent this academy. You've been training here. You got to this rank, which was a lot of years of work and dedication. Show it. Know the difference. When you talk with men, you talk with men, but if there are women and children present, have a little bit of respect, man. You know, these are the little things that I try to just, you know, I'm not trying to tell them what to do. That's their business. They're growing. They had their parents, you know. And in terms of technique, the one area that I always really stress and I'm expecting to see a lot from them in is in the guard. Like, when I got a guy that's a brown belt, I'm like, listen, this is what distinguishes jiu-jitsu from any other martial art in the world, is that we have a guard. And so you must be proficient at the guard. Whatever it is, whether it's submitting from the guard, transitioning from one guard to the next, sweeping from the guard, you know, going to the back from the guard. So many things you can do from the guard. But that is the one area you need to be focused on right now. I don't want to look in the class, I promote you to black belt. I'm not saying it will never happen, but, you know, at any given moment, a blue belt could pass your guard. A purple belt catch guard. But I don't want to see that guy passing your guard at will easily. Or if he did, you don't make him pay for that. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's that one area of jiu-jitsu, and it's very complex because the guard is super complex. It is the most complicated complicated area of jiu-jitsu, and that's where 95% of the battle is in jiu-jitsu.
I agree with that. That goes back to the street fight you had originally. You couldn't protect yourself. You couldn't even make a guard. You knew that you didn't have anything, and that guy didn't know. But now that you have a guard, you can protect yourself. That's what it is, a protection, so that you can make space, maybe even just get away, even if you don't want to fight. If you don't have a guard, you don't have a choice. David?
Hello.
Say something profound. Like
I have a phenomenal guard. I'm glad that I'm...
phenomenal guard.
No. I'm
it's
working
fine.
On it.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, listen, if you drop him back in 2005, his guard's fantastic. Everybody passes on their knees. He could play butterfly. He could play half guard.
That's my strongest guard.
As soon as somebody...
that's my strongest guard because that's the first guard that I learned. But yes, no, I'm developing all aspects of guard.
Yeah, start doing Toriandos to him. It's over.
I'm developing all aspects of guard, Ed. Man.
All right, I want to just pause this just so I have it. Look.
What are you doing?
I'm just...
Just don't screw up again.
It's not screwing up.
All
I
you
can't
have
even
to do is... Look, you ever lose a video? Out. You have that whole logic video,
oh,
don't you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I do.
Yes, of course you do. He's a professional.
You're trying to be. We're aspiring professionals.
You better... You got a lot of work to do.
You cannot become a professional unless you made 100,000 mistakes.
Oh, we're
he
making
has
them every
already.
Day. You always love to talk bad about me.
Yeah, yeah, because in the beginning... This was a back and forth, but lately it's not a back and forth.
Whoa, we're going back and forth. I can't wait. We're trying to get into the video aspect of this, and I want to just have the proof all over the internet.
You should go to the website and check out the video because I told you that whatever I put, I don't know what happened, but in the transfer from YouTube to Vimeo to the website, it now like flashes three or four times before it plays the video.
This is why I do all the technical aspects. And
you're
you...
doing a phenomenal job. Thank
except
you,
for
Ed.
The part when you cut out the whole...
Yeah, except for the first 20 minutes of the interview.
Still.
But
possible.
We're going to pretend like it's not there.
I was explaining the whole thing about how I met Robson.
He was telling everyone how important jiu-jitsu is to his life. And
you
just cut it out.
You know I feel terrible about it. You know
I know, I did. I can tell. I loved it. In my head, yeah. He's going to... For the next 3 days, I'm going to hear about how he wants to quit.
There's going to be a laptop every time now. That's it.
That's it.
I'm not bringing mine.
Shame on you.
Fine. Shame on me.
Fool me twice? Can't fool me twice.
I've fooled you several times.
Okay. So let's move on to the future. What do you think of the future of jiu-jitsu? Do you think that we're at the peak of where we are, or we have further to go as just a community, growing the community? Because when you started, early 2000s, it was a very small community, especially in this area. Now, I mean, the schools all over the place. Do you think that's going to start to come down because this COVID shut a couple schools down? Or do you think after we get through this, it's going to go back to where it was or back even further?
Do you think that we're going to get through this? Or do you think that COVID...
See, this is what I hate about you. Let him answer mine. You can hold on to that. And then he'll add on to it after. No, it's not over. I'm letting you go. Don't listen to him. Answer mine, then he could re-ask.
That was me dropping.
The future of jiu-jitsu, what do you think? Is it bright?
Yes, see? We will get over this. And as far as the growth of the schools, you could just tell by the growth of the techniques. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at the techniques now to, like, you know, even 5 years ago, it's like, what? It's crazy. You know, like some stuff that's going on now, like I would never even thought of that, you know? And so that only tells you that it's kind of sort of like what Gordon Ryan said, that, you know, we're still in the initial stages. There's still so much more to grow.
It's exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. It's my favorite thing. So to hear that it's only going to grow from here excites me.
I mean, that's why we're here. We want to spread it more.
We're part of the growth now, Ed. How do you feel about that?
Yes, baby. Well,
a very tiny, tiny part.
Whatever. This is our role.
Well, that makes three of us.
There we go. Another thing is competition, though. You were heavily in the competition scene. Mm-hmm. How do you think competition could be improved, in your opinion?
Well, you see all these different platforms, you know? I tell my guys, don't complain about anything. Don't whine about it. Don't get into this thing online where they're like, submissions or not, gi or not, do it all. When I was competing, we weren't online complaining and making memes, degrading or denigrating anyone. I did gi. I did no gi. We did takedowns. We did submission only. We did it all. Who cares? Just go out and fight and win. Stop complaining. You have this one faction is always whining, oh, the, you know, the points. I saw this rash guard that they say, F the points. I'm like, what? Why? Like, it's a whole brand now that they have. A whole rash guard brand they have now. Like, it's strictly against anything that has to do with points. Like, well, whatever. You know, you keep complaining. I'm going to win. When I was competing, I won anything as much as I could in no-gi, anything as much as I could in gi. And that's what I tell my guys. And anybody that's listening, bro, just stop complaining and whining, man.
Yes.
Any fool can complain, and most do.
Yes,
Dave
complains.
Get out there. Do what you got to do.
I complain? What am
I
complaining about?
Throw the gi on. Compete in gi, win. Throw your no-gi on. Or take your gi off. If it's submission only, fight and win. If it's points, smash them on points and then submit them.
Yes.
Rack 27.
Yeah. No, yeah. Listen, I'm all for racking it up. I'm just saying the perfect match is 9-0 with a choke from the back. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, one time I was talking with Guilherme Mendes. He was out here for a seminar. We went to New York City and we were having we went to Times Square and we had some pizza and whatever. And he was talking about that. He was like, yeah, we're working on, you know, they obviously reviewed a lot of their footages and matches where they had a lot of points and they were like, they thought of it the same way. They're like, man, if you got that many points,
I think that's where I got it from.
Something is wrong, you know? That means you lost the back or you lost the pass.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Well, that's why my favorite of all time is obviously Hodger. I mean, that's who I want to be. He's just, I mean, it might be boring because he does the same thing over and over, but it's success. It's such domination. You know.
Well, if you were 245 pounds, 6'3", I'm sure it would be always success and domination. Not to take anything away from him, but the guy's a giant.
I understand exactly what you're saying. You know? I've often wondered what would happen if he was a different size.
Yeah, so not to take anything away from him, but
sounds like you're taking
I respect everything
him.
That he's accomplished, but jiu-jitsu was made for the small guy.
Was it? But he's a big guy. So you're saying there should be a weight limit, right?
Nah.
Nobody over 200 should be allowed to do it. No, I'm just joking. Nah.
He's trying to make another excuse for him not to train.
Yeah, I'll just stop training. I'm barely over 200. I'm 206.
You're close to Hodger's weight, 245.
I'm just a fan of the small guys.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite competitor right now? Do you not stay up on competition?
I do. Okay. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to this young man yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before yesterday. His name is Thiago Brito, who we're going to have come down, teach a class. I want to do an interview with him and a technique presentation. I knew who he was. I went up to him and said, hey, Thiago, what's up, man? You know, I've been watching you. I saw that match with you and Miguel. I'm not really, to be honest with you, I don't have a favorite grappler right now. Oh, I'm wrong. Gary Tonin.
Mine too.
That's your favorite?
Absolutely. Right now, absolutely.
What's
he's
so awesome about him?
He's exciting.
What? Yeah?
He's exciting.
I don't watch anything, really.
Oh, man. So listen.
Do you even know who Gary Tonin is?
I know who Gary Tonin is.
Right. Relax.
You know why? Because of the Kumite. I was really into the Kumite when they did that brown belt thing, Keenan and all them. He was in that, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so I got to know him a little bit
I
then.
Say that, and this could change. It can totally change. But, you know, he did, you know, his grappling stuff. He was featured on a bunch of high-level events, competed everywhere. The World, Pans, Polaris, Metamoris. Is that right, Metamoris?
Yes.
And then he went to this MMA thing. And I was sad. I was like, because I believe that he could be the Marcelo Garcia of our time.
Oh, Marcelo. See, he was my original favorite.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I believe. Like, he's... Listen, you're
we're
talking
on the
about,
same wavelength right now.
Listen, okay. You're talking about stand-up. You're talking about on the top. You're talking about... remember, they used to call him the Lion Killer. Remember that?
I don't remember.
You remember that?
He doesn't know... He doesn't know nothing about jiu-jitsu.
Just
it's crazy.
Educate me. That's why I'm here. Yeah. Just educate me. There's people listening
They used to call him
know?
The Lion Killer.
Okay.
You wouldn't know that because everyone thinks he only does leg locks.
Right.
You know? He's all around. What I'm trying to say is he's all around. He plays guard, you know? So did you see the last match with him and Dante Leon?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It was great. He won a decision. Decision, right?
And credit to Dante.
Yeah, he was very well prepared
for
that match.
That's a match to study.
Dante Leon.
Where's he from?
He is from Ohio, from GF team.
That's a match to study. You want to see some serious back and forth. I'm talking about chess. Counter moves and counter moves. You got to study that.
Yep.
Is that a big thing for you? Like, that's where you get some techniques too, is just watching matches?
I like
matches?
I don't watch matches. I study matches.
Study.
Now, let me tell you, just since we're talking about and we're fanboying a little bit on Gary Tonin here, my favorite match ever, I don't know if you've seen it, but please agree with me. My favorite match ever was Gary Tonin versus Eddie Cummings, and I think it was EBI 3. Did you see that match?
I did.
Oh, man. I didn't think that Gary was going to be able to pull it off because he was running away. Not really running away, but it just seemed like he was escape after escape after escape because Eddie Cummings was on the prowl for those legs, man. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was one of Eddie Cummings' best performances, too. Mm-hmm. But then Gary got him. It was great. That was one of my favorite matches.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your leg lock game for the current times?
No leg locks in the gi.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Just the honey hole and all this stuff that's going on. Have you really been into it?
Yeah. We train. On Sundays, we have a no-gi class, and we do this thing called ADCC Sundays, and we also do EBI Sundays.
I'll never come to those. If you don't know, the gi is my favorite thing. Yeah. I know you have to train in both, but if I had to pick one, I love the gi.
He also really... does not train no-gi, so he says that he trains,
whoa.
And you need to train in both,
I came
but
to
he
two classes this year.
One.
One?
One.
Okay, I came to one class, so that counts.
Yeah, it's all good, man. We know we train, and like I said, we've never been here at this academy, and we've never been the type of people like, oh, I like this or I like that. I like it all. Leg locks, foot locks, wrist locks, on white belts too.
Get those white belts. Listen, just a quick aside.
Don't.
Anybody listening, if you're getting wrist locked constantly, make a fist. You can protect yourself. All right?
You can protect yourself. No, I can make a fist and still get wrist locked.
No. I mean, if they have great position on you, I mean, you could probably get wrist locked. But if they're just getting it, maybe they're in your guard, make a fist, please. Don't have loose wrists. That's all.
Limp wrists?
No, I don't
sink
like
ships?
I don't like to get like I don't like to get wrist locked. I don't like to like get ankle locked. I feel like it's a waste. Dominate me, you know? If you're on top, get to the dominant position. I like to finish from the back or mount or side control. I want to be dominating. If I fail the submission, I'm still in the dominating position. That's why I'm not a big fan of submissions in neutral positions, just because, yeah, maybe I'll be able to get it, but can I hit you with a triangle from guard over and over again? No, you'll figure it out how to stop that. But if I dominate you, that means I'm doing a lot of techniques right in a row so that I'm getting better in all these different areas. What do you say? Say something. What?
You're wrong.
How am I wrong?
So, this is going to bring up something that we've talked about in the past, and I like to bring it up from time to time because we haven't touched on it.
Touch it.
How do you feel? How do you feel about heel hooks in the gi? Thumbs down, right?
Oh, he's thinking about it. Let's go. Don't he's think. On the fence yeah. about
he's
it.
He's already thinking too much.
Yeah, it's not something that we do. Like, I've never done it.
Yeah, good. So you don't like him, right?
I don't want to say I don't like
he's
it.
Just say you don't like
nah,
it.
Nah, he's hitting the nah. neutral about it.
I mean, listen, like, hey, we talked about growth, right? Maybe that's an area where we can grow in.
Yes.
Maybe that will change, you know?
It would change. We're trying to change it.
You know, I think that this, we have to separate something here, right? We got to make a division here. If that should be something that should be left to the guys, let's say in black belt division.
Yes.
Because there is a problem when you're teaching someone and you want to teach them the whole system. And then if they learn footlocks, you completely destroy that. Because remember that, like you were talking about doing a bunch of things in order, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you teach jiu-jitsu and you look at it as a submission art, you know, typically to educate and truly form the white belt into a black belt, I have to take them through all those steps. Understanding how to attack from the mount, attack from the guard, pass the guard, different types of passing, looking for control positions. If I start teaching that white belt or blue or purple too early to just sit back and look for the submission, he misses all that.
Exactly right.
He's missing all of that. You understand?
You're playing both sides right now.
I'm not playing both sides.
You're for heel hooks in the gi, but now you're telling not to teach them to the white belts.
I didn't say not to teach it to white belts, but what I'm saying is in competition or even that, but I don't think white belts should be.
No, wait. Like I said, we got to separate something.
Yeah,
because
you're
talking about competition. I'm talking about training and forming the student.
Yes.
When you're training and forming a student, we have to teach them these progressive movements.
Mm.
So this way they learn everything. I don't want a student who just knows how to do a knee cut. I want a student who'll do a knee cut, cross knee cut, double knee cut.
Back step.
Long step. Well, remember, they're broken down into three sections, right?
Okay.
At the basic level, you have knee cuts, and then you have toreanders and leg drags or one-handed toreanders. And then after that, you have long steps, which is the most advanced guard pass.
Yes.
Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I have to teach the student this. So this way he's knowledgeable of these things before. Now, if I teach him a heel hook, he's never going to do the knee cut.
He doesn't
never
need to.
If he can
enter his heel hook positions, he could just finish right
now,
there.
Now, competition is a completely different animal. That's a completely different thing. You know, the event is going to decide what they think is best. And so in Fight to Win, they slam from the guard, which is not done typically in a gi match. In IBJJF, you know? I don't know if they do heel hooks. Do you know if they do heel hooks?
In the gi, no.
No. Maybe that might change. No. If they do that, that's a completely different thing. The athlete, he has to, after he's formed himself or his instructor formed him, he has to look at the rules of the event. Don't complain and whine about the rules. Just learn them. Adapt. That's what you do. You don't complain and whine. You adapt to the rules and you make it work. You know, when we were competing, Isaac and I, we didn't complain that it was a heel hook or not. We looked at the rules. We're like, all right, that's it. We reviewed in class and we were there. You know, you got a bunch of guys complaining about rules and stuff.
We have two guests in a row both saying the same thing. Learn the rules, quit complaining.
Right. So one of my things is it's not the competitor's job to make the match exciting. It's their job to win. So they're going to learn whatever rules you put in front of them. And
wait
they're
a
gonna,
minute.
What?
Who said that? Is that your,
I just
that's
said
your
that.
Quote?
No, I just said it.
That's your thing? You really believe that?
What do you mean? The competitor, if you're competing, what are you trying to do? You're trying to win.
You don't think that the athlete should...
I don't think it's necessarily... Not everybody does it like that. I think it should... I want it to be exciting because I want to push for exciting because I think it promotes our sport. I think that's why UFC has really hit a boom because it's exciting. Not every time, but in the matches that aren't exciting, people let you know about it. Now, I'm not a high-level competitor, but we're thinking about trying to start tournaments, maybe in-house tournaments, and maybe tweaking the rules a little bit, making our own rule system that incentivizes excitement. More judo, less backing up, less stalling. You know, that's why I like heel hooks in the gi. It opens it up. Add more 1 points for things. Like if you are stalling, There's no warnings. It's 1 point for the other guy right away. That's going to make the guy move, right? So I think you could manipulate the rules to make it more exciting. But as a competitor, I mean, if you're doing these high-level tournaments, I don't care what you do. If you, a win's a win, right? At the end of the day, if you're at the highest level, look at Leandro Lowe. He's one of my favorites of all time. But if it's close to the end of the match and he's up by a point or an advantage, he's dancing around the ring towards the edge. Maybe if he steps out, start over. So I don't fault him for that because he's trying to win. He's trying, like, a win at Worlds, that sets you up for everything else. Seminars, privates, academies, right? So yes, I agree with you. Excitement will raise the sport up, but I don't necessarily put it on the competitor to make it exciting. I think it's admirable if you are a competitor and you're trying to finish. That's why we love Roberto Jimenez, because he wants to finish. He's not happy with winning by points or decisions. He wants to finish. And I admire that. But not everybody has the mentality. They want to win. So what do you think about that?
Well, I was a competitor, and I it was a big deal for us to entertain the crowd. I hate boring matches. I absolutely hate boring matches. I just scrub and I'm like, bro, that was a waste of time. So as a competitor, every single match I had was exciting. I wouldn't even let the guy who stall, I wouldn't let him stall. So I feel that the athlete's job is, he is there to win, but he's also a performer. And if you're training 8 hours a day, that should come to you easily. I don't understand how guys train 8 hours a day, go to a match, and are sitting there tickling each other's feet. I'm like, dude, get up, somebody.
I just don't think people...
Bro, it's incredible, man.
I think you have an older school mentality. It was more of a fight back in the day with training. Now it's more regimented, drilling. You have certain type of partners. You have nutritionists. It's becoming a lot more mainstream.
I feel that people are also training to stall and to come out with the advantage.
Professors need to step up. I'm not going to let my student do that because that's destroying... I was watching a match, and I don't usually comment on social media like that. It was on YouTube. It was IBJJF posted a match. It was two black belts, studs. You would think that the match was going to be a barn burner, and they were sitting in 50-50 the whole time. And I usually refrain myself from doing that, but I had to comment. I said, a match that could have been otherwise a barn burner was destroyed by 50-50. Now, a few things that happened there. Whoever the professors are, man, they got to step up, man. I tell my guys, I show my guys how to get the hell out of 50-50, how to counter it with footlocks, how to turn it into a betting bolo. I try to tell them, don't get caught in that. But if you do, you need to learn how to get the hell out of it. And IBJJF needs to do something about that too. How do you let a whole match go to waste? So they will penalize you for putting double guard pull after 30 seconds if no action, but they'll leave you in 50-50. That doesn't make any sense. So sometimes, you know, the rules, they got to do something about that.
Yes, that's our point. We have to do something about the rules. Another big thing that I'm pushing for, I mean, I'm not really pushing, but a big thing that I believe is IBJJF black belt matches, 6 minutes. What do you need 10 minutes for? All you're doing is stalling.
Remember that that comes from the tradition of the no time limit matches.
Right.
And so sometimes there's some things that are just kind of like, you know, ingrained in there.
How about this philosophy, okay? The adults get 10-minute matches. Masters only get 5, all right? I'm Masters 2 now. I want a 10-minute match. Let those young studs who can move fast do it faster. Why do they get more time?
That makes sense.
I agree with that. A couple people have mentioned that on this podcast that the shorter matches, I mean, 10-minute matches, how many matches do you have in the day? Maybe 4, 5, 6. You got to pace yourself. You can't go 1,000% unless you're a super athlete. I think 5-minute matches is a good idea.
How do you feel about Kasai? 6-minute round robin. Boom.
Kasai's dope, man.
Perfect. See?
That's his favorite.
I like Kasai.
We're not sponsored by them, you know.
We are not sponsored by them, but I'm pumping them up for free because they are what we are searching for, entertaining.
I want to go to one of those events. I've been trying for a while to go, like, especially when they're in New York. I haven't had a chance to, but I would love to go to one of those events.
One day, hopefully, they'll start back up again.
All right. So we're about ready to wrap this up. I don't know how much time we've done because maybe half hour.
I made a mistake.
People make mistakes, but let me just tell people, it's okay to make mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes over and over. That's what you don't want to do.
That was the fourth time.
Shut up. Before we go, just let people know what you're working on, where they can find you, and I don't know, anything else.
Anything else you want to mention?
Anything you want to say.
Leave it in his lap.
Go ahead. Man. You have all the responsibility now.
So, man, we're working on a lot of different things. Obviously, the most important thing is just trying to get everybody back in on the mats, healthy, mental health, you know, physical health, training, learning, and like we mentioned earlier, just having fun, man. You got to have fun. It's got to be fun. And we do have a seminar coming up with Master Robson Moore. He'll be here September 19th. It's a Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's going to be amazing. I don't know if you guys ever been to a seminar of Robson. And it's unreal. The stuff that this guy does and comes up with is He's from another planet. I'm waiting for a spaceship to come and pick this guy up.
Now, you said we're going to, of course, mention it in the intro and stuff, but you said here. Where are we now?
We are at the Cutting Edge Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy, 756 Harrison Avenue in Harrison, New Jersey. It's open to all belts, all schools. We don't discriminate. Seminars for everybody. So everyone's more than welcome to come. I didn't post a flyer. I might post a flyer.
Definitely post
a
flyer.
Is there a way for people to pre-register, or do you just have them show up the day of?
I think I'm going to set up a flyer. I'm going to create an event page where they can pre-register. Okay. So we'll I'll get to work on that ASAP. Yeah. And what else are we working on? That's it.
What about the videos you're doing, you're planning on doing?
Okay. So we're talking about, that's my Choke Lab project.
Mm-hmm.
We are working on creating an instructional database where people will be able to either download, purchase and download, or become a member to have access to, you know, a library of different world-class athletes. And at the moment, I'm working on a 30-technique instructional with Gustavo Batista. It's a very complicated project because we're coming at it visually from a perspective. It's not like anything you've seen before with multiple angles and stuff like that.
Trying to innovate.
So it's very complicated, the editing process. I'm on video number 7. So I think what we're going to do is going to come out with like 10 and then another 10, then another 10. This way we can get something out because a lot of people are asking. We have Andre Mota, who's a phenomenal Novo Union black belt, 50 degree. We have an instructor coming out with him. I have Robson Mora. We're working on something now with Trator Vinicius.
You don't know who that is?
I have no idea.
He's at Marcelo's now?
Yeah. So we're going to be doing Nogi with him. And so we got a few things coming up, you know.
Beautiful. When all that stuff is set up, we'll obviously share everything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very impressed by you. You're actually doing more to motivate me to everything. I'm excited to do the
videos.
Like
we should have focused more on the Choke Labs. Should have brought that up more in conversation.
Another time, maybe.
All right,
another time.
I like another time. Right, see,
great.
We were invited back. He liked us enough to allow us to come. Well, we haven't been allowed back yet, but we'll see.
He still hasn't seen us on the mat yet either. That's going to be embarrassing.
Embarrassing and fun to watch.
So that's all we have.
Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate
Thank you
letting
for
us in
for
here
the time.
And taking this time with us. It's a very fun interview. I really enjoyed myself.
And you made a fool of yourself, which made me happy as can be.
Of course. So that's it. Bye.
Sing us in,
I'm
Ed.
Not singing this
Come on.
Episode.
That was the biggest compliment we got on the last episode is the singing. Please sing us in.
I'm not singing.
Pretty pleased with the cherry on
I'm
top.
I'm taking 5 episodes off. That took a lot out of me emotionally.
But it was fantastic. Don't be a chicken now. Sing for us.
I really enjoyed myself in that interview. A lot of new perspectives.
Oh, geez.
I love what he had to say about competition. Like, Bones just, he wants to be exciting. You know, it's not enough to just win. He takes it to another level.
I know. You really struck a nerve when you said that it's not on the competitor to be exciting. It's on the competitor to win.
I know. I still stick by my position. I do think fighters should aspire to excitement, but a win's a win.
That's
what do
you
say?
Feel?
I
a win's
hear what
a win?
I want to hear what you say, though. You know, if you were in that position and you could...
A win is a win.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
no,
I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Okay, just say it, though.
Fine.
To be on my team.
Yes, we agree.
Thank you.
Ding, 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 ding. What's today's date? Mark it down on the calendar. Dave and Ed agree on something. I am not being a yes man.
What did you think?
About what part?
Just the episode.
It was great.
What did you like about it?
I loved the whole thing. I'm glad that we got down there to talk to him. I'm happy to now have him in my BJJ social network or my social network in general. We've been texting. That was nice.
Yes. And Hobson Mora, his instructor, is coming up for a seminar in September.
Do you remember the date?
September 19th.
Very good,
there
Ed.
There we go. I might be going to that. I don't want to make any commitments because then I'll look like an idiot if I don't go.
Ed is not good with commitment. He will probably bail. He probably will not go. And he will not cover class for me, so I won't even be able to go.
I wanted you to go with me.
I can't. I have a school.
Fine. But if I go, you'll be proud of me?
I will be proud of
you. Okay, I might go.
You're not going to go. You should go, though. He used to play a lot of half guard.
I'm trying to get away from half guard.
Really?
Yeah, you guys have been letting me play on top recently.
What do you mean recently? I always prefer to you play on top because my bottom game needs work.
I guess I mean Kyle. Kyle's let me play on top a little bit. And it's been going well for me. But then he got on top of me today and...
Every time I looked, he was ragdolling you.
He
what was going on?
Me. I spent a lot of energy over-undering you.
But did you finish the over-under?
Eventually, yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
I passed twice.
Okay.
3 times.
Did you finish with the over-under?
Turned it into like a half Toriando.
Did you finish with the over-under?
Oh, I passed single-legged X.
You did pass single.
Yeah,
that,
Yanni.
That was fantastic, too, by the way. I even got a kick out of that because when you dropped your weight,
all
you
206
knocked the wind
right on you.
206.
208 probably right now.
Should we get the scale? Let's do it on the air.
No.
Come on the air.
That's not fun.
It's not fun?
I'm all sweaty.
I apologize. You actually look very thin today.
Don't say that. I definitely didn't. I was wearing my smallest gi and it really protrudes.
What did I say to you while you were rolling today?
You were looking at my belly jiggling.
You're jelly biggling. Remember? Yeah, jelly biggling. I was all like flustered from working hard in my last round. And I said, Ed, look at your jelly biggling. I was just backwards.
We were working on the back today and we started from the back.
Which is a horrible position to let Ed have.
I've been finishing my cross collars with only the thumb in, not even a full grip.
But you must be holding with more than your
just
thumb.
Just this.
No.
I'm telling you. Check the video. Kyle takes the videos.
He didn't today.
Oh.
But I have video.
Check
Eye
it.
In the sky.
Check the
Big
tape.
Big Brother, 1984.
Orwell.
Very good. I'm impressed. Do you know how to read, though?
I listen.
Oh, all right. What is that? Audible? Audible.com.
Yes. Not a sponsor because we don't have any. Except for our main sponsor, Core BJJ. You can follow them at Core BJJ NJ on all social medias as well as CoreBJJNJ.com.
Wow. I really am impressed at how you've been throwing those out lately. You must be practicing.
If you guys are as impressed as Dave is, you could also follow us on our social medias, To The Death Podcast. Don't go to Twitter because we just gave up on it. But Instagram,
no, there's no giving up. It's
Facebook.
I share to Twitter. Twitter is the worst platform, though.
How about if anybody listening to this gives us a Twitter like, we'll give him a t-shirt.
No.
I tried.
We are only getting 24 t-shirts.
He didn't have to say the number.
We're only getting 24
Fine.
T-shirts.
Well, can people order
when,
them?
No. When the t-shirts come, we're going to do t-shirt giveaways.
That's a giveaway. Twitter.
Are you going to just, all you got to do is give a like? That's not enough. No.
Just for the first one, then we could ramp it up.
No. I have very good ideas in store for our t-shirt giveaways. It's
Fine.
Not going to require much work. So if you're a fan or if you have t-shirts like Ed's, you can check out our YouTube video and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And you just need a new t-shirt. Getting yourself a t-shirt, as long as you're one of the first 24, will be nice and easy. Actually, 22, because you're going to get one and I'm going
to
get one.
Cool. Make sure to go to our website, tothedeathpodcast.com. You can get a link to all our podcast platforms. And you can see the new video that Dave clipped out for us.
I know. You know what else is wrong with that video on our website,
there's
though?
No music.
No, forget the music. What? I don't have access
what about
to
it? What about it? What about it?
It has no audio. No sound at all.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know. It has no sound at all.
Big Daddy's going to have to step in here.
Just the transfer. It has sound on YouTube. It has sound on Vimeo. When it transfers from Vimeo to our website, the way that it links up, there's
Let's
no sound.
Let's not talk about this now.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Keep that on.
I'm going to fix it, okay?
I'm not even giving you access.
I have the video on my computer. Uh-huh. I can clip it. I have Adobe Premiere. It'll come out nice, crisp, clean with the music. No problems.
There's no music because it's specific to get us talking. Nobody's going to sit there and listen to the... How long is the music?
10 seconds.
Nobody's going to listen to the 10 seconds of music. They can go right into the video.
I'm saying at least at the end. It should show like this is it now.
Okay, fine. That's good.
Okay.
At the end. I agree.
What do we have coming up?
Nothing.
Okay.
I failed.
Good.
We have no guests.
Great.
Nothing's coming up.
We did 20. Congratulations to us.
The
we
end.
Quit.
The end. Happily ever after.
That's it. That's all I got for today.
What do you mean? You don't want to talk about the episode more?
Okay, go ahead.
It was good.
You know, when I mentioned Hodger, he kind of...
He was not a fan.
I love Hodger.
He is a sizist.
He's not a sizist.
Say what you said.
He likes to learn from people his own size, just like you do.
Ooh, we should have brought that up specifically
you
on the podcast.
You should have brought that up. That's your thing.
I
your
don't
lane.
Remember everything, but I really liked... You know, some of the things that he was talking about, I agree with 100% though. Some of the
Such
Hodger
as?
Stuff... I agree.
You think he's because he's only as big, that's why he's good? I hate you for
that's
that.
That's not what I said. I said
Listen,
that I agree.
Listen, I said.
I said to you, I agree with some of the things that he says. Also, I prefer watching small guy jiu-jitsu too.
But listen, any person is going to play to their strengths. If you are a tall, strong man, play to your strengths. If you're smaller, don't press my buttons. Stop it.
When you're done talking, it's a perfect
Am
time
I
for that
Am I correct
button.
Or not? You're going to disagree with that stance on it? What should Hodger do?
You
play
should
a
always
small...
play to your weaknesses.
Wrong.
Why would you play to your weaknesses?
That's
of
what I'm
course
saying.
Play to your strengths.
So why? That's what Hodger's doing. You can't fault him for that. I just think he's fantastic. The way, does he ever go backwards? That's what we were talking about in this episode when Joseph won 27-2. Hodger wins 9-0 with a choke. That's what we're looking for.
You know what else I liked that him and I did agree on?
What's that?
The most exciting grappler.
Who?
Gary Tonin.
Oh, Gary Tonin. I don't know much about Gary Tonin.
All you have to do is open your eyes, Ed. This makes me crazy. Don't you have flow grappling yet?
No, can I borrow yours?
No, I told you I would have bought it for you, but
bought
I can't
it
now.
For you. I don't
now
want
we
it.
Can't.
Fine.
I'll show you a couple of clips.
All right, cool.
You know what I'm going to do? I'll just, I learned how to screen record on my phone, and I'll record the whole match, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, lovely. Isn't that illegal?
Shh. Don't tell anyone.
Just kidding. I'll come to your house. You make me dinner. I'll watch your phone.
You said you were going to make meatballs. I've already made you dinner. When are you going to cook for me?
Next weekend.
And not McDonald's.
I had Taco Bell today.
Did you really?
My wife asked. Like, if somebody's going to ask you.
What did you have for lunch?
Cuban sandwich.
And what did you have for dinner?
I had two burritos, a soft shell taco, and a hard shell taco.
From where?
Taco Bell.
What did you have for breakfast?
A turkey sandwich.
A turkey sandwich?
My wife makes me lunch for work because she's the best ever. And she always makes me a turkey sandwich with cheese and mayonnaise on wheat bread and a peanut butter sandwich on wheat bread and a bag of chips.
So when did you eat the peanut butter sandwich?
I didn't eat the peanut butter sandwich. My friend at work asked if he could order Uber Eats, and I said, I have a peanut butter sandwich, and he said, that would be fantastic, and I gave it to him, and he was thankful, and I felt good.
So you had a turkey sandwich.
I didn't eat the chips either. I brought them home.
What else did you have in the morning? Do you have soda in the morning? Or do you have coffee?
I'm not an animal.
Do you have coffee?
No, sometimes they get me those Dunkin' Refreshers, but I didn't have that today. I just had my...
You have a Frappuccino, don't you?
No, I don't like
that. Sugar-loaded drinks?
No, I get the Dragon Fruit, Strawberry Dragon Fruit Dunkin' Refresher. They are not a sponsor. But
that is loaded with sugar, too.
Oh, it's all sugar.
Okay, so we had a dragon fruit
thing. I didn't have that today.
All right, we had a turkey sandwich, Cuban sandwich.
Sure.
And several burritos and tacos.
Yes, and a little bit of soda. And I'm going to go home and
Did you have any churros?
No, I'm going to go home and have some juice.
Juice? Haagen-Dazs?
No, I got this black tea, but it's got a lot of sugar in it. Tastes good.
They make that unsweetened, you know.
I like it sweet. Come on, what, are you trying to embarrass me here?
No, I just want you to, when you go back and listen to this, you'll understand why you haven't lost any weight yet.
I know why I haven't lost the weight. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, then why are you all down on yourself lately about it?
Oh, because I've been thinking about skipping class.
Oh, can we not skip class? Can you continue to push forward? You're actually making improvements. You're chaining a couple passes together. You're not just one-track mind laying on me trying to squish me to death. You're changing your moves. You're transitioning well. Let's continue in this direction.
Okay, slow and steady.
Slow and steady wins the race, all right? Continue in this direction.
Okay. Can we finish now? I want to go drink my tea.
No, I want to keep talking to you. I feel like if you leave, you're just going to go right down the gutter again. Bad path.
Daddy's got to take a shower.
Oh, all of a sudden, you're going to start showering now.
Mama doesn't like letting me in the bed if I stink.
Thank God. Oh, my.
Yeah, if I wasn't with her, I'd just be stinking all over the house.
No, you wouldn't, because people would eventually complain.
Yes.
No, you don't think the people would complain?
I think they would.
You wouldn't care, though.
I care. So then I would take a shower. Then they forget about it. Then I'd do it again. Just be a cycle. Okay, stop. That's enough.
Do you wear deodorant?
Yes, I love
deodorant.
What
kind of deodorant do you wear?
Axe. Not a sponsor. Just start reaching out.
So we're just going to start saying, not a sponsor, not a sponsor, not a sponsor. Hey, here's a good way that we could possibly get some sponsorships. We have Gi reviews coming. Do you think that one day we can actually do them?
If our sponsor would buy the boom bike, we
can
get to
work. Did you tell me which kind yet? I was actually going to just text Joseph and ask him to just send me the name of your entire setup. I want the little boom mic. I want the little boom mic holder.
That's expensive.
I want the gamble. I want the camera.
We don't need all that.
But
we just need a couple $100 mic. That's it.
I'm going to ask him anyway.
Go ahead.
Do you think he'll tell me?
If he likes the episode, I got to cut it together. I haven't done it yet. I hope it sounds good.
Well, if we didn't screw up and lose the best 20 minutes of the episode.
I'm done with this. It's not funny anymore. All right. Can we finish?
Fine. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media at To The Death Podcast. Also, check out our website, tothedeathpodcast.com, and email tothedeathpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our sponsor, CoreBJJNJ, and Sweaty Eddie on Instagram.
Yes. Once again, I really appreciate everybody that is still listening. I put my heart and soul into this, and I love you for listening. Dave, I love you for doing this. Peace.
I wanted to say something about
okay,
us partnering together, but I don't remember what it was.
It's fine. This is To The Podcast.
Episode 20. I need to learn how to say episode in Spanish. What are you doing?
That's the song.
How about you just play the song?